happens.
Yeah. That's big, going to a high school, going and not knowing, but it is scary.
It's scary. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I can respect your decision.
Yeah, I think my son, the youngest, I think they had, each class is about 30, but I think 27 of them at the bottom of the group, like, in that group.
Right.
Hey,
great.
Good to see you.
Great. I know. Did you guys have a zip power outage in the
Oh, we did.
The traffic signals are up.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. We're on a different grid than downtown.
This is special.
All right.
Blue.
Wouldn't you say you have generator backup?
Not for regular stuff, for all of the infrastructure IP things.
Our internet goes down.
All the time. It's
my goodness.
Beautiful internet in Ventura. I can't wait for February 25th.
Yeah.
It's still on the agenda.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what means?
Yes, that's a topic for a while.
Done.
It was fun seeing it, the window and
dark. It made you feel like getting some tomato soup and a grilled cheese.
Yeah. That might be dinner. Go back for Lisa Roback saying, "You hear the secrets of Harvard. This is it. What they have to be confused." But why did I get asked?
Yeah, that's
why that roundabout never even happened.
In her phone. It's longer.
Thanks. Oh, I don't think. Hi.
Had a meeting with Dave Ward yesterday.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
So we're doing a subdivision center. So, yeah. So we're trying to get through some stuff. We're trying to recreate a lot of his Google at some point. So,
yes, that's not fun.
All the project was a 320 years ago.
So the father of the kid.
There we go.
Yeah. The baby from 20 years ago.
Is that his real name, Augie?
Yeah, that's like the middle name or anything.
Where?
Augustine.
My brother's name is Augustine. Yeah.
Small houses, 6,000 square feet.
He pronounced it Augustine.
Definitely.
How you doing?
Yeah. And you can.
He goes by
all around. And
you can support him too.
Oh, okay.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 to 2.5 acres. 2 to 4.5 acres. Lots.
Here. Thanks.
I texted because I thought this was starting at 3.
So. Oh, that's why I was like, that kid, you're going to be on time. I'm like,
hey, Dad. How are you?
Good. That's it. Cool. All right. Awfully wet out there. My gosh. Main Street was pretty flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a bit taller.
Down by the high school.
Yeah, so we can start right now. We can open the meeting if everyone's ready. I'll start by taking roll call. Councilmember Mangone.
Here.
Councilmember McReynolds.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Halter.
Here.
All are present. And first we'll take public communications. We do have one public communication. Mr. Amendola, you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Got here a little early, unexpectedly. So I haven't much chance to sit here and collect my thoughts. Seeing Marlis reminded me of how long I've been coming here, because when we talked a few minutes ago off the record about February 25th update on broadband, which I'm very much looking forward to it. I started coming here in 2014 talking about broadband and advocating to this subcommittee about the importance of broadband. Now, I realize all of you were not here because I've been through five council members on that issue and advocating with the Broadband Consortium Pacific Coast beginning in 2016, which was funded with monies from the California Public Utilities Commission and money from taxpayer dollars. A slight pivot because that's coming on February 25th. I view water and the future rate increases which are forthcoming by Ventura Water Department to triple our water bills in 10 years. I foresee that having a major economic impact on the city of Ventura ratepayers, residents, and businesses. I think it's going to have an adverse impact. All of a sudden, you know, if our water bills are tripling, by example, I spoke with a business owner downtown, their water bill is $400 a month. And so their water bill in 10 years or 5 years, whatever it's going to be, it's going to go to $1,200 a month. How could they recuperate that? You know, they can only sell so much coffee to recuperate that difference. So that's just one example. Looking at it from the hospitality sector, which all of a sudden, you know, the hotels in the area, they have to absorb that cost or they're going to have to pass on a surcharge to the guests to recuperate that and maybe unbundle rates and services, et cetera. Some do, some don't already. But I would implore this subcommittee to take this up and study the economic impact of the rate increases that are coming. The appointed commission at the Water Commission, they are not doing that. As a matter of fact, what they have done when they prioritize the exercise, they made economic impact or affordability number three. Whereas this is a major shift from the last time this was done because the last Water Commission that did rates had that as number one or number two. So we're looking at a Water Commission that is prioritizing infrastructure in the water department over affordability. And somebody needs to really take up the affordability conversation. So I would hope the subcommittee could do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Amendola. That concludes public comments. We can now move on to formal items, which is principally to select a chair and vice chair for the subcommittee for the year. Do we have any nominations for chair?
I'd like to nominate the deputy mayor, Doug Halter, as chair.
We have a second.
I would accept.
Is there any other nominations? We can take a vote. Councilmember Mangone?
Yes.
Councilmember McReynolds?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Halter?
Yes.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Halter is nominated as chair. And for vice chair, do we have any nominations? Councilmember McReynolds, do we have a second?
A second.
We're trying to look at
it. It was.
We still see it.
Vote, Councilmember Mangone? Councilmember McReynolds?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Halter?
Yes.
Three ayes.
He never misses anything.
And I'll hand it over to the chair.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. And I'm honored to be chair of this committee. It's one of my favorite topics as a kind of development. So approval of number two is approval of committee minutes for November 14th. How do you usually handle that if we weren't on the committee?
Great question.
You can still vote on it.
Okay. It's always 50-50 depending on what board we're on.
Yeah. And I don't know if there was any action on that last scene. So
okay.
Yeah.
So with that, I'll be happy to entertain a recommendation to approve the minutes of November 14th, 2024.
New staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
Roll call vote?
Do you need a roll call vote?
You can take that. That's fine.
Okay.
All in favor?
It's so crowded in here. Hi. Okay. So we're on to item number 3, Economic Development Strategy Subcommittee meeting frequency. The recommendation is meeting the current. I'll hand it over to Steph. Did you want to go over that?
Mm-hmm. It's fairly simple. So the previous formatted fund, today is February 13th, 2025. And so the subcommittee voted last year to meet every other month. And so this is what that schedule would look like, with meeting today, the next meeting in April, in June. August is usually dark because council is on recess, October, and then in December. So this kind of aligns with the previous calendar, and happy to take any changes or recommendations if you'd like to.
Councilmember McReynolds?
Yeah, as part of the, we adopted the Vibrant Ventura, which was the next update on that, is the next item, but part of it was identifying 3 focus areas. So I propose that we meet next month so that we can identify 3 focus areas, and then would that go to the full council if we made a recommendation on 3 focus projects?
I do not think that the Catalyst projects is what we're talking about.
Yeah, Catalyst project.
Catalyst program. So the way that we see the Catalyst program going is that depending on the criteria, well, yeah, so there's criteria for the Catalyst projects. We're going to figure that out, figure out the areas, what this looks like. But then there's also going to be some needs for staff outside of economic development to come in and have some resources in to help move things along. So what are those things that we showcase to Catalyst projects that will help them get through the system faster, or that we can help go and attract? So I do think that that will take some time. I do think it's probably going to take more than a month to build. And I think that eventually, depending if there's funding requirements that go along with it or fees associated with that, that is something you'll have to bring to the full council.
Right. And then, but we're in the budget. We just kicked off the budget process the week prior. So I just think if we're going to identify those, not knowing if they're going to need funding or not, that we should probably get those in line, identified, and then before the council, during the budget.
Sure. And then I also want to look at it a little bit more broadly and not just focus on 3 projects, but if there's something else that comes in that hits the criteria of whatever we build as a Catalyst project, that those can be considered as well. And this was going to be something I was going to talk about in the next kind of agenda items. And we can discuss a little bit more about how staff can build something, bring it to you, and kind of have workshop and feedback and that along. But I hear you. And
so I was proposing if we'd meet, I guess, March, I'd be willing to meet March and May to get that going. Because we approved the Vibrant Ventura plan late last year, and so then this committee gets to try to implement that.
I had a comment, but do you, Mr. McDonough?
Yeah, that sounds good. Councilmember McDonough. So yeah, 2 more. That's fine.
What I was hearing though from staff is that you may not be able to have time to put those catalytic.
We will absolutely work on them. I was saying that it was going to take more than 1 month for us to have them finalized.
Yeah,
right.
They're not going to have it in 1 month.
Right. Okay.
So, but we can start working towards that faster.
If we have a meeting in March.
Yeah, March and May. And then in the case, because if this committee makes a recommendation of something that's going to cost or allocate resources, we're going to need to make a recommendation to the full council so that it gets incorporated into the budget.
I actually like that idea. Personally, a meeting frequently at the beginning right now with the budget process. I want to make sure that that's productive for staff as well. But if there is a motion.
Yeah, so I would move staff's recommendation with the addition of the March and May meetings.
You second that? Okay. Motion by Councilmember McReynolds and seconded by Councilmember McGowan. It's right way.
Mongoni.
You have to use your hand, James.
Mongoni. It is. It's 2 months. And I still haven't had it.
Just it's so easier if you got to hold it like
this. I think I could do that, actually.
So we have a motion and a second. Councilmember Mangone?
Yes.
Member McReynolds?
Yes.
Chair Halter?
Yes. Okay. Next is economic development strategy work plan update.
Yeah, so yeah, you can read this. You don't need to read it. Just showing you we're doing a lot of stuff, right? So quickly, I'm just going to kind of go over because we do have two newer council members here who were not totally part of the economic development strategy building process. So really, the Vibrant Ventura vision came up with six focus areas, and those are the driving clusters. Now, these are kind of legacy clusters, industries that are always here and are driving our economy forward. That is like our health sector, our government district, agriculture. And then there's also emerging clusters, and these are more in the advanced manufacturing or the tech, new things that are coming in that will continue to grow and build a home here and then start to drive us forward. And that could, you could think of the trade desk or Nexa 3D, who we had, who was doing 3D printing. Also on there is expand tourism and visitor sectors, grow local lifestyle and service, improve city processes, and expand resources. So when we met with the Economic Development Subcommittee last November, we kind of gave a quick update of what we had planned for the first 6 months of kind of teeing up this strategy to have some success. We're a little bit over 3 months in there now, so this is kind of a high-level overview. So for these driving export-based industry clusters, we're really making ourselves known in the different industry groups. We're going out there, we're building our relationships. We go to the Chamber of Board meeting installation and a bunch of meetings to really get ourselves known in the community. We go to the Ventura Unified School District. I myself met with Dr. Castro and Dr. Hassan at the school district to talk about workforce development and priorities and workforce housing.
Who's Dr. Second.
He is in the school district. He works on their surplus properties.
Oh, okay. Like real estate.
Real estate, yeah. And so we're partnering more with the Workforce Development Board. They have a great group in Oxnard. They have some strategic employees who are out there building programs, different internship programs, and connecting to the resources. And a lot of collaboration with the community college district. We are really building our relationships again with our Ventura County College District and making sure that we are all working together. The emerging export-based industry clusters. This is where we're really trying to figure out who these emerging clusters are. As different people come to the city, you get a business license, you get a NAICS code, which kind of tells us where you live in kind of an industry. Mm-hmm. Bucket, but it doesn't really tell us the meat and potatoes of what you do and who you are. And so we're really trying to figure out how we can get that, and that's working with GIS. And we also have onboarded some really cool tools, some data resource tools that we are onboarding and getting used to, and where we can find this information. So we're excited. I'll talk a little bit more about that. This week, we are releasing a business industry survey. So we are going to be pushing it out, and it is a very comprehensive 30-question survey. We tried making it as easy as possible, but it asks the major business questions, starting off business address, what is your phone number, cell number, and then goes into asking how long you've been in Ventura, asking how many employees you have, what your needs are, is it focusing on accounting or employees or workforce development? We're trying to get a really good overview of all of the different types of businesses we have here so that we can assess their needs and be more targeted onto our approach into the different industries and the different businesses we have. We're really looking forward to that. I haven't yet told Stephanie and Marlo, so they're on my beta team for that one. So they're probably going to be getting that survey in an hour after this meeting. And we'll see how that goes. And really looking forward to that because that is a way that we can continue and, of course, utilize our new dashboard tool from CivicServe. It's going to take things, it's going to analyze them, it's going to put it into pretty buckets for us and then help us build some dashboards that we can then do better tracking and have some better visuals for you than this. Tourism and hospitality, this one is great. We really lean into the experts of the people who we work with, right? We don't need to recreate the wheel. We have our experts in the room right here who are doing it. And so a lot of what we do is connect, and we help come in as needed and do the assist. And so we do that a lot with Marlis and the team at Visit Ventura, as well with Stephanie at the Chamber. They identify, they hear things, and then bring in Carrie and Meredith, and we come in and work as a team. We also do that a lot with all of our other businesses, with Weave, with Score. We have a lot of support and a lot of smart people here who are working to help all our business community. So it's having those relationships that are great. With tourism and hospitality, we also have this new data software tool called Placer AI. Now, this is, we've talked about it a little bit, it's a GIS kind of tracking on your phone. It's telling us where people are, what they're spending, what their demographics. We can get into such cool information for that. And so we're going to be able to create some analysis through that to help support this and help support Stephanie as they are looking and talking to different potential events or businesses. We're really excited about that. We've done it already a little bit with a business who was looking to move into downtown. We've also done it when we were talking to developers on the East End, and they're wondering what could the East End really support. And we were able to come in with a really great presentation and show that there is quite the market for a supermarket. The lifestyle, retail, personal services, entertainment, that's really the everything commerce bucket, right? The everything else. So in this, we're really working on trying to showcase who we have here in Ventura and connect who we have. We've had some, we've had some small business campaigns, local business campaigns. We had Small Business Saturday over the holidays. We had the hashtag Ventura Finds, as well as the Window Wonderland display, which we just had the winners for that were announced. We had the Clay Parlor and Hallmark won that. And so Hallmark will be getting a Breweries ad, and Clay Parlor is getting a free Taps video that they'll be able to use on their social media. So this is another way, again, working with our partners. Stephanie helped us make the link with the Breweries to be able to do something for our businesses and highlight something extra. we're going to continue these, and we're going to grow them as we have Small Business Week coming up, and we're going to be talking about Restaurant Week and some other opportunities we can continue to build our communities together. Also, there is the wonderful Random Acts of Kindness Week. Visit Ventura, just push this out. We are also putting it in our ED newsletter and encouraging our businesses to jump on, be kind, share what they're doing, and then we can amplify those messages. As a government entity, we can't just pick random businesses to put on our social media. They have to be part of something. They have to kind of submit themselves or be part of a winning group or however it is in order for us to be able to showcase them legally. So whereas our wonderful partners have the ability to do that, we can amplify it when we have these tie-ins. We can also, we're inspired by our partners at Visit Ventura with their inspiration guide. We're really looking into doing a more economic development, smaller version. It could just be a folder or a couple pages, but some collateral for us to go to. We are going to go to ICSC, which is the International Conference of Shopping Centers. We're going to go through this. We haven't been there. The city hasn't been there in over 5 years. And we don't really have any collateral that hasn't existed. So we're going to do kind of the same format, grab some stories, grab some really good information that ties things in, have it be visually appealing, and utilize that to try to get some interest into our community, as well as then have that wherever we go, right? And be able to showcase the little economic development slide of that. We are logging our context and development support. That is something that really hasn't been done very well, but now we have this online dashboard. So, and when I say we, Carrie has really been the strength on that, understanding it, learning it, doing all the trainings, and then helping me get on board. But it's really great, and you'll be seeing some of that soon. We are meeting the Established Auto Center liaison team. So now this is with Public Works, Community Development, and Economic Development. And we are meeting once a quarter. And we are gathering together just to ensure that they feel the support in the way that they need to, and that if there are any issues with anything that's going on, if there is a new dealer that's potentially coming in, they'll let us know and we'll be able to work through all that together. It's been really great. Maruha is in there, Matt Mackler and myself. We are the city team, and we do one meeting here in the city, and then the next meeting is at the auto center. So we're making sure that we're all visible and all the dealers start to know that they have city support. The city processes, we talked a little bit about the Shop Local campaign. We're also stronger participants in the DAC meetings. These are the meetings anytime anybody applies, everybody sits around this table from all the departments that have any hands in any type of permitting process or development process, and they all get a say. And so now Carrie and I have the opportunity to share, like, oh, hey, this is a really important one for economic development, and this is why. And so everybody at the table can start to understand more than just their pie slice and how it impacts the entire city and our community. We also, a part of city processes, we've co-hosted 4 workshops with SCORE and the Chamber. The Chamber has been a great partner with that. And these are based on the needs we hear from our business community. And so we've had one on kind of the new laws that are coming in. That was the most recent one. We've had some on Google and analytics. And they've been very, very well attended. We get high 40s to 70s at each one, which has inspired us to do more. So we're going to look at some more opportunities, which we'll learn through this survey of how we can. And then the last one is a resource allocation. I've mentioned a couple different tools that we have been able to do since the onboarding period. So that's Placer AI, which is the data analytics. We have Civic Serve, which is the online dashboard and tracking help. And we also have just signed on with CoStar. So CoStar will give us the ability to understand when leases are ending. We also get an idea when some buildings are sold or new leases are signed. We can see historical lease numbers and also pull some vacancy rates. We are seeing some issues with how some of that's going. So we're still learning that one. That's been fairly new in the last month. So we'll be able to refine our skills with that. I do want to introduce our new senior management analyst, Carrie Glenn. Carrie Glenn has been internally promoted to our senior management analyst. Our team, which is well-deserved and still doesn't totally reflect everything she does here. So happy to have her on our team. And as a team of two, we are all over the place and we are having a great time. And we are very excited to also potentially get a third on our team. Which was brought through the strategic priorities section. So thank you for that advocacy. And so that will be reclassified position. The city is not adding any new positions at this time. However, we did have an internal promotion through comms that left a vacancy in the city manager's department, which we are now looking forward to taking for economic development. So it's just sort of kind of a reallocation of the. And so that's what we've done over the last 3 months. And with this, we have some fun numbers to share and fun little numbers. And these are going to get bigger once we get the tools. But in 2024, we had 1,500 new business licenses issued in the city of Ventura. Of those, we sent 252 welcome letters. Now, why only 252? Because out of that 1,504 businesses, 252 are the brick and mortars. There's a lot of people who come in who are consultants, contractors, home-based businesses, and so those are taken out. But you can see that there is a huge kind of percentage discrepancy of our brick and mortar to our other businesses. We do send welcome letters, and we love it because we frequently get people stopping by, like happened this week, or calling us being like, oh, we've never had anyone welcome us. We want to meet with you. We have some really great conversations with that. In the last 6 months, Carrie and I have about 132 business connections. 34% of those needed development support. And so that's where Carrie and I step in and we connect with our community development team and try to figure out what's happening. And usually it's just a necessary time to get everyone together to talk in a room and everything sits and it moves forward and it's great. And we're always happy to be the people to call those meetings. We also have a 56% opening rate of our ED newsletter. Now, in our industry, the average is like 23%. So that's a pretty good percentage. So Carrie, thank you for always keeping those interesting and fun. And we continue to try to do new things and different tools in that. And we are going to look to try to restructure that again this year as part of our kind of rebranding-ish collateral as we move that forward. Right, next one. That's it. Questions?
Yeah, are there any questions or introductory comments? Please.
How's that? That big business industry survey, how is that distributed?
Good question. So what we are going to do is we're going to initially send it through all of our contacts that we have through our constant contact, as well as Civic Serve, the company that we've worked on for this kind of online dashboard. They have gone and they've been able to scrub email addresses off the internet for a bunch of businesses. So we're going to initially go through that. And we're also going to share it with our partners like SCORE, like the chamber, like Visiting Toronto, the partner kind of newsletter that goes out as well. So we're going to try to get it out through all of our
partner channels,
all of our partner channels, as well as it will be brought up in this is a good thing to say. Whoever wants to report what happened at the Economic Development Subcommittee in front of council, this is the time that you could bring that and try to share that. It'll be on our website, and it'll kind of be an evergreen thing that lives too. We'll bring it back out, probably, depending on how many responses we get, right? We'll try to kind of figure out a good cadence on getting it. Whenever there's a new business coming in now, we'll have a QR code there where they can get to that survey immediately, so we can kind of get a better understanding of who they are. Business renewals will also probably have the QR code in there. So any other suggestions are appreciated.
Do you have like a target for like participation in the survey initially, or are you just going to like, you're saying do as much of like kind of the email outreach first, see how that works, and then kind of
yeah,
where you're going to go next with it? Okay.
Any other comments, questions at this point? Then we're going to public comment, right?
Okay.
Councilmember McReynolds.
And in regards to the business, can we see the survey too?
Yeah.
Good chance. And then I apologize.
Beta group.
What is SCORE?
Oh, SCORE is a business counseling group, essentially. So it's all volunteers, and they're all former business owners or current business owners. And they volunteer their time to support the business community. And it's all across America. Right,
senior core of retired executives.
There we go. Yes, I can't even find that on your website. Stephanie, we've all wondered. So what they do, and they're someone that we utilize often. So when we have a business come to us and they say, hey, you're kind of struggling, you don't really know how to make our business plan, or we're owning this restaurant and things are kind of going hard and we don't know what's going on, we'll connect them with SCORE, and they do free business counseling. They connect them with an expert, they go through everything, they talk it through. And it's been very successful for our local businesses to get mentorship through them.
Okay. And then the East End Grocery Store.
Yeah.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yes, you can. And I'd love to share that with you.
And then can you include the mayor on that also?
Yeah. She's seen it.
Okay.
Anything else, Councilmember Burns?
And then the Auto Center team.
Mm-hmm.
What are the issues and concerns you're hearing?
Okay, so far what we're hearing from the Auto Center is the road is difficult. Current Auto Center Drive is has, you know, they should send us kind of some drone videos we've seen where you can see where the tires are going all the time. You can see the potholes. So they wanted some attention on the road, especially because that's where the large vehicles kind of go and park. They wanted some attention just so they know that they have this team. So anytime that there's a dealer who has a problem, usually with dealerships, the larger ownership mandates changes to the dealers every few years. And so they're always needing a little bit of a sign change or a little bit of a tenant improvement this way and that way. And so that can sometimes feel agitating when you have to go through the government process. So now we're just here as a team to make this process have a little better bridge through the government process and make that feel a little bit more comfortable. What we are seeing through our community development process right now is things are going through a lot better. It is a lot smoother. Of course, there are always those hiccups and those hardships, but it's been very cool to have the online system because Carrie and I can hear a concern and talk in there and see what it is. And very frequently, it is a little misunderstanding. It is maybe someone whose contractor hasn't yet reapplied and they thought like, hey, it's held up at the city. And then we look in and it's like, well, they haven't reapplied in 6 weeks. They got to get this application in. And then the next day the application comes in. And then sometimes it is our fault where we look and we see like, oh, this person needed to respond 3 days ago. And then Carrie and I can say like, hey, where is this? And then it comes through. And so things like that. But now the Auto Center team knows that we have that. They are also, of course, always talking about the Levis Park Drive and the levy and how that's going in the RFP. We have both legal teams there sometimes, so whenever they bring their legal representative, Miles comes into the meeting too, so we have both representations in there. They've taken us on just one tour where they just drove us around and showed us everything about their new plans. We are currently working. There's a new dealer who is close to signing, and we're very excited about it. It's going to bring a lot of sales tax dollars to the city. So we are just, you know, responding to them in 30 seconds every time we get an email from them, making sure that they know their priority. So different things like that. And a lot of it's just relationship building.
So in regards to the roadway, you know, obviously the largest sales tax producer in the city.
Yes.
Are they, you know, the sense of entry is important mm-hmm. to them and us.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the result of the auto center?
Yeah. So Matt Mackler then takes all the public works stuff through public works. And he said, you know, this is a priority. We understand. I think the potholes will fill the next day. And we haven't had the follow-up meeting to find out about the roads. But I do know that because of this, we are going to be paying better attention. And I'm not exactly sure how the CIP, and so they're building all of that right now through public works. So I'm not exactly sure the streets schedule, but it's absolutely something we can report back on. And,
okay.
And one of the things that I think is something we'll talk about in the staff communications is how we have different departments report in, because as we saw in the strategic priority session, there is a lot of everybody that is economic development. And it's not always our ability to represent exactly what they're doing, right? Because I know a little bit about the streets and what they're doing, but I don't know everything. So we are going to suggest to have the different departments come in and do little reports to you every month, have a different department come in about what they've been working on.
Okay. And then a little bit of a future aims, but you know, as part of what you just mentioned, if we could get Mr. Morley to come in and do an HDL report for
quarterly sales tax,
I guess the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
We just got third quarter.
Okay, which I run 6 months in a year. Okay, and my last question: ICSC, the International Shoppers or Counts, whatever.
Conference Shopping Centers.
What is your goal and objective in terms of?
The first one is to learn by fire. I think that it's something that I have not been to, and it's something that we know Lisa Shields on the Radius Group has been wanting to kind of take us under her wing and kind of show it around. So I think the first time we're going to go there, we are also have some partners. George Winkler, who is with Camarillo Economic Development, is planning to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also potentially going to be maybe do a regional thing where there is an area where we start having some meetings with people and we can all kind of talk about our respective cities. But I think a lot of this first one is for us to kind of showcase Ventura, see what's out there, see how it works so we can better strategically plan for the next year and come correct and ready to have some strong meetings.
Is there any focus in terms of who, I mean, just initially, I understand what you just said, but.
Yeah. So I think we do have a few properties within the city that are teetering on time to be developed. Mm-hmm. And there's two on the east end and one kind of in the Midtown area, our market area. And so I think what we will try to do is definitely talk to some grocery stores, talk to some supermarkets, have our data that we've compiled and we have ready, and see how it aligns with what they are looking for. I just had some preliminary talks, you know, with a Trader Joe's, right? But just talking to Trader Joe's, they like to keep their small community feel. So when they start bringing in more than a million a month in one store, they start looking for another location. Our Mills one brings in more than a million, and the one on Victoria is like 980,000. Mm. So they're getting close. So is it potential that we could do have some negotiations with them. So I think that this is really just going to kind of help build that for us. And we're going to be able to understand exactly what those different industries are looking for. We talk to our brokers all the time. We hear different stuff from different brokers. So it's going to be interesting to hear it exactly from them.
Okay. And then my last comment more is if you could break into Visit Ventura and steal all of their visit guides and have them.
Oh, so we have 6 boxes. I need a little guess.
I will give you
stickers
too.
Yeah.
It does. Okay, very good. I have a couple questions and a comment, and then we'll see if we have any public speakers there. Okay. First, I've seen it a couple of times, and pardon my ignorance, but the export business title, what is that exactly? I've seen it.
So there's 3 different types of industry quantifiers in the strategy, and it's legacy, and those are our government, our healthcare, the driving, those are the ones that are pushing us forward, and the emerging. And then within all those, there's export and others. So export, those are those businesses that are creating tangible or even intangible goods in our city that are then being purchased and used outside of the city. So we're getting outside dollars, using something inside of Ventura, and then getting it out and into a supply chain. And that's one of the things that we're hoping also in this, not strategy, in the survey, to be able to find what are those supply chain needs, what is missing, and then how we can help work with our partners and our other cities to help fill those. And we have been working very, very well regionally with our other cities. And that's been exciting for us. It's really kind of bolstered in this last few years of being able to say like, oh, we have that, oh, we have that, and match those partners.
Okay, thank you. That's leads right into what I've been pretty excited about is the Craft Light Industrial, which I think is an export type business, you know, because you're bringing in parts and equipment or things to assembly a product, a finished product, then export out to the rest of the world.
Yeah. And the export, it could be finished products or it could be a piece of a product, right? But then
that's exactly right.
Finished somewhere else.
Because that's one that I have a lot of interest in even highlighting the ones that exist already. And let's see. The other thing is, in regards to community development, that's something that I feel is extremely important to e-com development. And as we have done things with the Matrix, with our policy consideration that we authored last May, and even the response to the grand jury, perhaps there's things that we could look at in regards to businesses, signage, TDIs, and tenant improvements, where we can also streamline and make it more efficient and more timely in that arena as well. So I may want to be looking in that. Yes, you already have plans to do so.
I mean, we're, you know, on the constant communication with community development. You know, we're really pleased with the progress that Rachel and Shannon have made. For example, today at DAC, which is the committee where they review all the pre-applications or applications, they're going through all the comments and conditions, and they're clarifying those. So they're trying to put them more in layman's terms for the applicant. So when they receive them back, they have links to our municipal code. So they're really trying to streamline that piece of it. So even though that may seem minor, it is really huge in terms of somebody getting a four-page sheet that has, you know, just a bunch of jargon in there that they don't understand. So they're modifying all of that. And so those little things really go a long way in helping our businesses understand exactly what's expected of them when they submit or resubmit or resubmit. And then we're also looking at, there's an opportunity for us to receive aging reports from InterGov. An aging report basically says, how long is this, you know, plan set been in the system, essentially, and looking at that and saying, you know, what's the situation with this one? Obviously, there's, you know, we're less concerned about, we don't really delve into any of the residential piece of it. It's really just the brick and mortar businesses, but that's an opportunity for us to look into that case and be like, hey, why is it sitting so long? We can look in there and say, hey, the applicant hasn't resubmitted in 6 months. You know, what's the status? So those kind of things that we can kind of help push along. So
great. Thank you. There's so much going on. I know what DAC does, but do you happen to know what the initials stand for? Just out of curiosity.
Development Advisory Committee.
Advisory. Okay. I couldn't remember what that was. I know it's been around for years. The other thing is, as far as the business survey, we know who has a business license in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about before that oftentimes, for instance, our business, we have 4 business licenses in order to run our 1 business.
Mm-hmm.
So if we knew how many true businesses we had versus just, we wouldn't want to see the same thing mailed to us 4 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we had an understanding of how many total businesses we have that we could then reach out to, maybe through email if we have that on file, which we probably do.
Something we do not have. Legally, that has been dropped from. unfortunately, we don't have that.
Legally?
They're not allowed to share that information with us. It's like private information that goes to them that is not allowed to be shared with us.
Yeah. So it makes it challenging.
That's it makes it
like old school letters.
Okay. Maybe we should start a registry of business.
Yes. I know. We've definitely tried to be creative and meet with our business licensing team to figure out how we can we can just capture information. Like, can there be a box that says, like, yeah, you can share this with the economic development team? But because it's a form that is created in a special way with a special thing, there's also something that Carlene mentioned is that the business licenses in cities that she's worked at have a little area that show if you're a minority-owned business or a woman-owned business. Mm-hmm. And we don't have anything that tracks that either. It's just self-reported to us, and then we save it. So we're looking to try to figure that out. But it's so hard. It seems like such an easy thing. But with these forms and this government process and the checks and balances, it there's just some blockages to that.
And that's, again, where we have the resources at the Chamber of Commerce. We have a certain number of businesses or of them send out the business survey as well. Mm-hmm. And then Beacon, I just want to mention, do we work with other, when you're getting the, what was it called again? You mentioned it. And where you're getting the data from cell phones and so forth.
Yeah. Placer AI.
Yes, because I know Beacon is doing that as well, and there's a lot of great information about the use of our beaches and the frequency and how long they stay and what resources they use. With Main Street Moves and from the Tourism Bureau standpoint, I'm sorry that Stephanie had to leave. It threw me off a little bit because I was hoping to ask her a few questions.
Oh, Liz.
But I could always call her. So, yeah. I know, having been on the board for a long time, I'm not quite sure if I'm still on the board, but no, sorry about that, Marlis, but I've just been on so long. Knowing from the environmental tourism versus historic tourism versus people coming here for conventions versus people coming here because they love spending time in the downtown. Mm-hmm. I imagine, I think we have information like that, correct? Can I ask that question to our visitor?
We don't have that specific information. We did an economic impact study back in 2017. But it actually didn't section out the draw for the visitor either. But we do have, we track our groups, we track the leisure traveler, we track what zip code they're coming from, we track visa spending. And so we match the visa spending with our traffic on our website. And then the reporting that we get to, we can say we get this many from Arizona, they're coming for the beach and vacation, and GRC is our group business. We don't get a lot of people that are coming specifically for historic and arts outside of the art walk. The art walk is very popular, but a lot of the traffic we get for art specific is from LA, and they don't stay the night, and they only spend $48 per person. So we don't even market in LA at all. Yeah. Because we don't get the return on the dollar. They clog up our freeways. They don't spend enough money. Mm-hmm. They don't spend a night. And that's our mission, is to drive those taxes to the general fund and our partners for the hotels. Okay. So we don't have it, but we know it.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And that's something that we can supplement, kind of what Marlis has with Placer AI. So I could pick, say, the fairgrounds during the fair weekend. We can see who's coming, where they're coming from, where they stopped before they got there, where they leave to. That's one of the fun things that we always found out, is that people leave Ventura to go to Raising Cane's in Oxnard. Like, it is a big top, like, three number of where people go.
So it's good for leakage in terms of figuring out, like,
what we need.
What we need.
If we had that in Ventura, we would keep those dollars in Ventura.
Which would be great. We're aggravating one, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I say one more
thing? Yes, please.
This place very loud is because I asked for some data on the throwdown, Spencer McKenzie's throwdown, from 23 versus 24, because it's very popular, right? But actually, when you look at it, still very popular. He had a 10% reduction in attendance in 24 versus 23. And they're not going into town and spending money. They're going to the beach. And they're going to the fairgrounds. So one, that shows an opportunity, but two, it also shows that the economic impact is not as strong as some people may think, right? So for me, I just think it is as an opportunity, but those facts are great to have.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, I want to mention that with Beacon doing the survey of many of the beaches from Port Hueneme up to Gaviota, actually, and all the information I mentioned before, is with VCTC, they're also monitoring cell phone data when people enter freeways so they could actually have it more automated on how many people are in line and queue to do so. But what would be even more fascinating is to monitor that cell phone as they enter onto the freeway system and where they exit at, because that would tell us where our workers are coming from.
Yeah, so this will give us, so Placer will give us, in terms of, you know, geolocation, it will give us like routes, the routes that people take to into and out of the city for a specific event.
Okay, good.
So we can look at that. So yeah, you know, again, like the fair, we obviously know how people are getting here, but you know, it'll give you vehicle, you know, traffic counts. You can, it's really a robust tool.
Excellent. I love it.
So yeah.
And my final comment is really a comment or question is, as far as the dashboard, is things like number of permit applications, the stats from housing, how many home sales, how many rental vacancies from the mall, what the stats are for sales, permits, how many permits, and which ones are for new construction versus remodel, and then hotel occupancy and rates.
Yes,
you know, which I know
we get from Visit Ventura. The other stats you related to housing and those kind of things, that would come from community development. Yeah. So the dashboard we're talking about is specifically allows us to track economic development strategy. So that's really what our dashboard is, hey, here's all the metrics that we have associated with the strategy. And are we meeting those? And that it allows us to log those things and keep it all in one system. So
a lot of what I was mentioning is probably the results of a sign of economic vitality versus results of the strategy.
Of what we're working on, we're tracking on. But this isn't to say that our GIS team can't build something that lives on the website that can pull from these once we have everything ready that it can pull from. GIS can build that. So definitely something that we can work towards.
Excellent. Okay, those are all my questions and comments. If there's others from my colleagues, otherwise I could open it public comments still too. Any public comments?
We do have one. Do you mind passing that to this one? Mr. Amadola, you'll have 3 minutes.
And as I looked at this presentation, with the screen that wasn't available in the public. While there's similarities to what was available in the public documents, the matrix that was laid out, that would have been helpful. But when I looked also at, Craig, would you mind pulling up that screen with the number of users and contacts, 15? When I looked at that, you know, I'm like, great, there's 1,500 contacts, but what was the results and were they qualified businesses? Were they going to make an economic impact on the city? And I look at, I'm trying to offer some solutions here, by the way, with my observations. I think the economic development strategy is weak. I don't think there's any accountability in it. And I don't think there's any goals or metrics to monitor for performance. I look at the economic development team as a sales team, inbound and and any sales team should have metrics. Marlis has a tremendous amount of metrics that she measures her organization against. And it's unbelievable the amount of metrics she has available at the snap of her fingers. This team does not have any. There's no performance requirements. It's a pretty lofty. It's kind of out there. So I've put together a document, which I would hope would be used to stimulate a discussion to tighten that up and offer some accountability and some performance goals. Whether I'm accurate or not, that's subjective to council, but I'd like to present that to stimulate the discussion. At the end of the day, as I see it, we have the police and fire department. They are accountable and measurable for every dollar that they use in their budget based on number of calls, responses, et cetera. And anytime they ask for money, they have to justify it based on the need of their metrics. There's nothing going on with economic development, whether it's measurable or tangible. All I see is just high-level speak and no action. Their measurements should be based on an increase in sales tax revenue and increase in job growth or business growth. We are economically flat
as best as I can tell from the reports I see from CLU and from the EDC, we have pretty much no sales tax revenue growth in this city. We're maybe 1% up, 1% down, depending, but there's no growth. We need growth. And I'm offering some suggestions of how we can get growth. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you. No other public comments. That's all. Okay. Comments or questions from my colleagues? I just want to say that so many of the things that we're trying to address in the city, whether it's about the maintenance of our infrastructure, of sidewalks and streets, to the beautification efforts, to the housing stock, so many of those impact our economic vitality. And so I don't think that goes unnoticed.
Hey, just one thing that I failed to mention, which I think is important. If the city and the team of the city is going to rely on the chamber and rely on Visit Ventura, well, then I think the city needs to contribute more money to those organizations so they can increase their headcount and their performance to perform where the city is not. If you're going to outsource that, they need to have funding to do that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. With that, no other public comments. We're any future agenda items my colleagues would like to discuss.
Well, there is this part too. Staff communications, and just like quickly, I'll just go through some. We did mention a little bit and alluded to how these future meetings will be set. We'll kind of give you the updates on what's happening. We won't go through as much detail as we did on this panel. We just kind of wanted to get you reoriented to the strategy and how we're focusing. We'll have the sales tax reports from Greg Morley, Arts and Culture Commission reports. There might even, Carrie remembers that time when there was once a joint meeting that happened between the Arts and Culture Commission and the Economic Development Subcommittee. So we're going to look into some potentials of how we can integrate those since we know that's a council priority. Again, we're going to be bringing items to you if they need to go to the full council. The whole point of that is that it's vetted through the three of you, your ideas, the questions, everything goes. So then when it goes to the full council, we can say Economic Development Subcommittee recommended it. That's 3 out of the 7 that are cool with it. And so hopefully it moves the council meetings a little bit quicker because there'll be less less to talk about because we vetted it through the committee. I know that there was the desire to have a quick Players Casino update. So the Players Casino is not in the city right now. They are looking to get back in. They're actually almost ready to sign a lease. They cannot tell me where, but I'm having coffee with them next Thursday. So we'll learn some more about that. They do have to come back into the city by December 2025 in order to have there was a whole kind of structure with the deferment. They used to pay 15% of taxes when they were in the city. When they went out, they still had to pay us 10% and 5% of those taxes, or the payback fee was deferred. And if they come back into the city by December 31st, 2025, then those 5% of deferred can be used to their fees to get back in to get resituated here in the city. So that's this year. There has to be a lot of movement, and they're aware of that. And so they are going, and we're excited about that. Right now, about the cumulative amount of deferments is around $1 million. That is, they're current with all of their payments today, too. The waterfront project, the RFQ that went out, that was part of what is in our strategy and part of what was requested through here, as well as council, was released on January 15th. This is really the one that's the conceptual design, right? This is the visioning, what can be instead of a parking structure on the beach, what can be down Surface Point, thanks to Councilmember McReynolds, down the promenade. We're really excited to see what comes back. So again, this is a visioning thing. What comes back doesn't mean we have to go forward with one or the other, but it's going to be really interesting to see. And that's why everything in there was guiding as much as we could, but we wanted to leave a lot into interpretation for people to be creative and to see what could come through.
Sorry, when do you anticipate seeing?
Yeah, so we have to have letters of intent to submit responses on April 10th. Okay. So April 10th, we'll get a good idea of how many people are going to respond, and then they're due on June 12th. And then some other kind of exciting things, Home Goods. You saw a sign go up maybe this week. It's going to be opening on March 27th is about their date. We also had the Varsity Club open, which is exciting. And then Tractor Supply has pulled permits for the old Toys R Us space. So if that continues to move forward, that will be filled with something as well.
Wow. That's great.
And then I just have to end with this because it's good that sometimes we have to toot our own horn. So we got this email from one of our brokers that says he was talking to someone we had assisted with, and they said, wow, I wish we had people like them in every city. Until that day comes, your Ventura's best kept secret. We hear that a lot. We hear that we're a best kept secret. We don't want to be a best kept secret.
Yeah.
We want everybody to know about what we do. And so please utilize us. If you hear of anybody who has an idea, harebrained thought, or is having a problem, it doesn't have to totally be business related. Please send them our way. We're happy to be that conduit for you, for our business community, and for our citizens. Please utilize us in that role. That's it.
Excellent. Now for items for future agenda.
Mentioned sales tax, right?
Yeah, the sales tax. And then I would like to have the Players Casino come in.
Come in?
Yeah. I would like to know the plan, because you said they owe us $1 million if they don't.
Yeah.
How much of that million is, so that you said,
excuse me,
hypothetically they find a new location within the city,
mm-hmm.
What's the difference? Do you have any
it's amortized.
Oh. It's amortized.
They amortize $1 million.
Oh.
If they come back in.
All right.
If they don't, they owe us $1 million.
Then they owe us.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah. Oh, well, and you know, they are a consistent sales tax, or not sales tax there, but right now it's a fee associated because they're not in our.
They don't pay taxes. They pay a fee.
Yeah.
Right.
You use our.
Right.
And we have a card room tax when they come back into the city proper, but Fairgrounds is not city proper. So right now it's a fee. And they are a good consistent payer of fees. So it is money that comes in, you know. Morally, that's a different discussion, but this is something that is a generator for economic development here at the city.
Maybe just regular kind of updates on what's kind of happening with Main Street moves in terms of, you know, like the pre-approved parklet permits, how many people are applying for permits, how many people are applying for permits on their own. Maybe kind of like a general update of what's happening, how it's evolving down there.
And as we enter into the second phase of Main Street moves, there are going to be a lot of kind of internal changes. Now that it's more kind of the streetscape planning phase,
right.
It's kind of moving from economic development to community development, public works heavy. So they're going to take the ball from here. But we are talking maybe about some restructuring with committee. So absolutely happy to do a Main Street moves report here to be determined on who and will do those.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Anything else? My only comment is that I'm pretty keenly focused on ways to increase our economic prosperity for the city. And instead of just fixing and inviting and encouraging people to invest in the things that our plans and our general plans say we want here in our community, but seeing how we could elevate that economic potential of our community. And I think that takes a discussion sometime to see what sort of economic generators fits the Ventura values that we all have and how that can perhaps take us out of the realm of reducing services or putting band-aids on streets and roadways and stuff and actually create enough revenue to create the infrastructure around us that we all deserve. So I'd love to have that conversation. I'm not quite sure how that would fit. That would be a fun meeting, you know, to have that discussion. Okay. If there's no other questions, that's it. It's now 4:33. Thank you very much. I
almost made it. Almost made it.
Yeah. Thank you all for being here. Very late here. Oh. Already missed by 3 minutes. I got to go and see the city clerk now.
Oh, I did have another question, but this is actually, it's a generic.